Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
We're all like guns, and I love being free. Because I'm armed, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Well, welcome to episode 170 of New Shooter Canada. I'm your host, Thomas. Actually, I'm your only host, Thomas, tonight. We've had a really difficult time scheduling a time or a date to record. Normally, we record on Sunday evenings, and that's being proven very problematic for Mike, because Mike works the night shift, and we end up recording later than usual, and he doesn't get any sleep, and he's exhausted. So Mike has to set up a separate recording date, and Benny has changed careers. He wasn't getting the hours that he required in the apprenticeship he was working on, so he changed careers. Now he's in the food industry, and he's picked up a second job. So he does his regular job during the day, and he's got a second job at night. So it's proving extremely difficult for the two of them with their young families and their careers trying to set aside a time to record the show. And myself, I've been off work since last May, and I just started back to work last Tuesday. Actually, I'm at work tonight. You should see my recording setup. I grabbed my old cell phone because it has a half-decent memory on it. I took my Android headset. I put a pop filter around the microphone. I've got that attached to a pen and stuck to a roll of paper towels. So I've got my own little boom mic, and I'm actually on my lunch break in the service room at Bessarion subway station. So I will try to mute the mic if a public service announcement comes on. I can't guarantee I'm going to get every single one. So you'll have to excuse the background noise because I am working. And since it's going to be a mini show, I'm just going to change formats up a little bit differently. I'm not going to do what we get in Duns. There's a few announcements I wanted to make because there's a couple of really cool things happening close by. First of all, on Saturday, March the 3rd, between 10 and 3, East Hill Outdoors has a gun range open to the public day. It's going to be $10, no license required, no need to pre-register, but expect lineups. You can buy multiple tickets of $10, and the $10 includes two mags of 22s and a mag of centerfire, which is actually not a bad deal. They're going to have firearms supplied by SIG, Beretta, Smith & Wesson, and Browning. You may not bring your own firearms to shoot, but they will have a SIG armor on site. So if you have a SIG pistol that you need to get looked at, they're offering a free cleaning. So you can bring it down, have SIG take a look at your gun. And if you've never been to East Hill Outdoors, they've really changed it. They did a renovation last year, and they put in a new range. The range is wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful range. The retail space has tripled, quadrupled inside. When I first went there, the bottom section was mostly fishing stuff downstairs, a little bit of hunting, and then a very small gun department upstairs. That's gone. Now when you walk in, there's a huge fishing section, there's a huge hunting section, and they have a very large selection of firearms for sale. They also have a restricted room where they have a collection of ARs and some really, really nice guns. They're not really geared to the competition market, but they are working towards that goal. I didn't see any holsters or belts the last time I was there, but I was speaking, I believe his name was Wes. They are in the midst of bringing in reloading components. They got in some primers, so they are going to be bringing in some presses. Because with the range, hopefully they'll get some competition going as well, too. So if you've never been to East Hill Outdoors, it's a nice store. Prices are pretty reasonable. Actually, when I bought that Hawk Scope last year, I bought it from East Hill Outdoors. There's only two local retailers had it. Ganyan Sports had it, and East Hill had it. And I got it for $70, not even on sale, $70 cheaper at East Hill Outdoors. And the staff are really nice in there. So if you're in the Clarendon area, go check out East Hill Outdoors. It's in a really nice retail location. Now, if you're into tactical and competition shooting, this is the show for you. Firearms Outlet Canada is having a two-day show, Saturday, March 24th and Sunday, March 25th, both days from 10 to 6 p.m. Tickets are required. Tickets are free. You can contact them online. Since there won't be any links in these show notes, because I'm not doing any show notes for this episode, Fred's going to have 20. If you register, there's going to be $25,000 worth of prizes given away. I'm thinking, I just saw the floor plan, but I couldn't see. There's going to be about 50 booths. So there's going to be all kinds of retail space, all kinds of vendor there. This is what they said. They said it's called TACCOM, So TACRAM Canada welcomes the leading manufacturers and industry leaders within the tactical and competitive shooting communities with the aim of engaging our diverse shooting landscape. We're committing to breaking new ground and providing the Canadian sport shooting community with not only a one-of-a-kind experience, but a first-of-a-kind. Join top manufacturers and industry leaders as we come together under one roof to celebrate the products, competitions, and lifestyle that any fire owner can enjoy at TACRAM. It's dedicated to showcasing the very best in tactical and competitive shooting disciplines with regards to products, training, making the industry leaders accessible. So as I said, their maiden voyage, their first show, so there's going to be many shows after this. They're also going to have free seminars. So there'll be topics for the seminars will be IPSC, IDPA, three-gun reloading, long-range shooting, and optical selection, introduction to firearms for the new individuals looking to learn more about firearms ownership and shooting sports in Canada too. So it is geared towards the competitive shooter, and also the newbie will find stuff there as well. Be sure to check out the seminar schedule and below and register your free spot. So you register for your ticket and you have to register for the seminar. So go to Firearms Outlet Canada's website and you can register there, and they'll just send you an email, because I did a little while ago and I got two tickets by registering. And if you do drop by, come say hi. I'll be working at the Grand Power booth with David Coping. So if you have any questions about the Grand Power pistol lamp as well, come and see me. I'll be glad to spend some time to talk to one of our listeners. And let's see, what else? Oh, yes. Thanks to Brian Bolivar for sharing this new discipline with us. I found this, he posted this on his personal page or Modern Rifle and Radio page. But it's a new Canadian Rimfire Precision Series. Basically, it's like service rifle, but it's set up for rimfires. So there's basically two divisions. There's production and open. The goal of production, of course, is to provide new shooters on a budget to be able to compete using the basic portable rimfire platform. So production, limit price is $500 for the rifle plus $500 for your optics. So any 10-22 with a half defense scope, you're good to go. There's no modification allowed to the trigger group. I don't know if that specifies the new drop-in trigger. I'm not sure. You'd have to check the rules on that one. But you can't do any modification to the trigger group, receivable, or barreled action. Some enhancements are permitted. You're allowed to put a cheek rest on it, butt pads. You can put the auto bolt release on it, the 10-22 buffer, and the extended mag release, as well as scope level bubbles. Open division, there's no restriction on the cost of either the rifle, optics, or enhancement. The Canadian Rimfire Precision Series course of fire will use steel targets varying from a half inch to 12 by 24 in size. It will include various shapes and animal silhouettes. Each day will have one or more targets that may be placed between 50 and 350 meters. Talk about stretching out your 22. Stages will typically require 10 rounds or less to complete and take 120 seconds or less. Total round count for a typical match will not exceed 100 rounds of 22 long rifle. So it's not going to be very expensive to participate. So you just need a basic 10-22, a couple boxes of ammo, and you're good to go. The shooting positions, like precision rifle shooting, will be varied and demanding. You can expect a healthy dose of standard prone, sitting, kneeling, and standing firing positions. In addition, there may be stages that use props to create new and exciting opportunities to test your stable position building skills. Some of these are barricades, rooftop platforms, oil drums, tires, wire spools, chain link fence, slack chain, bungee cord, tank tarps, and more. The series will take place at several locations across Canada and designed to bring more people into the sport and provide a challenging and fun match for experienced shooters. So it sounds like a lot of fun. And what's new? Well, there's a couple different things. Wolverine Supplies has announced pre-sale, and I believe it's sold out already, within 24 hours, pre-sale of 100 or 1,000. I don't remember the numbers because I'm in a room with no Wi-Fi, so I can't access my notes. But Kodiak Defense is making it's a 180C, so it's a Armalite 180B with aluminum lower, I believe. So it's a 180C. It's going to retail for under $1,000, and I believe they already sold a pre-order out already. So a non-restricted AR-looking gun. As far as I remember, you can drop in a Timini trigger. You can change out the Ambi mag release. Of course, you can't exchange the uppers. But it's a cool-looking semi-automatic that looks AR-ish and for a very reasonable price. Because the precision rifle that's out and meet up in Alberta, it's close to $3,000. So to get a tactical looking semi-auto, looks like an ER for under $1,000, it's a really good deal. And this sticker craze, well, there's two that I know of already. There's a small gun shop up in Northern Ontario, I think near Whitefish, called Acarizing Gunsmith. He's been having sticker draws for a while, but it's from one distributor. The guns are very limited, and it's nothing I would really buy a sticker on. And then Greater Napanee Gunworks, they started them a few months ago, and he's pulling from a couple of distributors. So there's a few products I would like that he's actually put up for the sticker draw. Now, the newest one is SFRCA Canada, which is one of their biggest retailers in Eastern Canada. And SFRC has an excellent reputation in the industry. And they're also big supporters of the podcast of Charity Shoot and Maple Seed. So I expect to see a large variety of guns, gear, and optics to be included in their draws. And the last one they had, I believe it was a really nice scope. And second place was at Rangefinder. So, and the scope was a quality scope. I believe, don't quote me on it, because I said I don't have my notes in front of me. I believe it was a Burris fullplex scope. So keep your eye out for SFRC for their draws. And let's see, what was in the news? I guess the one that bothered me the most was the Trump slump that they blame for the demise of Remington, which is hockey puck. Sure, a lot of the companies anticipated a bumper gun sale crop had Hillary got elected. Because when Obama got elected, sales went through the roof. We were affected by it up here. We couldn't get primers, we couldn't get ammos, we couldn't get, well, we had ARs up here, and they were a reasonable price, but then they dried up really quick, and we couldn't get ARs for the longest time. And when they finally came back, they were dirt cheap because they produced so many of them that they were readily available. And maybe Remington was expecting a bit of a sales peak over the election. But I don't blame the election for Remington's demise. That's their own damn fault. Remington never made their final payment that they needed to have by a certain date to the creditors. So odds are they're going to be filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. But Remington has lost the majority of its customer base over the last 20 years. It's been slowly, slowly dying away. Their first biggest, I guess, the three major causes, see, for example, the Remington 700. Remington has known for years that there's an existing problem with the trigger system. One of the guys that engineered the trigger told them there was a problem with the system. And they refused to acknowledge that there was a problem. There has been numerous accidental discharges, negligent discharges, the gun firing. They've all been accidental. But if you have the muzzle pointed at somebody else and it goes off, then it's negligent and it's your responsibility. So there's been injuries, there's been deaths, and they still didn't do anything about it. And was it last year, 2 years ago, one of the major television companies did an in-depth study of Remington and the 700, and they got it all on camera. The guy admitting that he wrote them, told them there was issues with it, and they still have not publicly admitted that there was a problem with the trigger system on the 700, because if they did, it's liability, and then they've been sued left, right, and center as it is. If they admit it is defective and they're liable, the cost would be extraordinary. Not to mention the accuracy issues with the 700. I know several people who have purchased Remington 700s expecting them to be TAC drivers in recent years. And it's been far from that. Most of the people I know that get a Remington end up having to get it rebarreled because the accuracy is just not there. The other big downfall has been the 870. For years, the Remington 870 was the classic pump shotgun. And they used to be a really nice shotgun. If you get an older example from the 70s or 80s, the receiver's gonna be nicely high polished, like a Wingmaster. But the workmanship's going to be nice. You're going to have a nice even bluing. The barrel will be polished. It's again, not high polished, but the barrel would be polished and blued. And they've been cost-cutting that model for years. There used to always be about a $100 price difference between the Mossberg 500 and the Remington 870. They were both blued guns. They both had wooden stocks. And Mossberg's been really good at keeping their prices level. They've gone up a little bit over the years. What Remington did, they decided to cut costs. So instead of getting the nice bluing on the barrel and the bluing on the receiver, they just put that black matte phosphate on it. They're not even taking the time to buff out the receivers very well. The last few examples of the 870s that I've seen have been absolutely horrible. The fit and finish on the metal has been terrible. I saw 2 years ago, we had a friend bought a Remington 870 Express. Was it Roberts 870 Express? Black matte barrel, black matte receiver. From the factory, it had several scratches and dings on in all the metalwork. The stock had the worst application I've ever seen in my life. You know, it didn't have a walnut stain. It had a red stain, like almost like a crayon red stain. And it looked like a child had painted the stock with a paintbrush. It was unevenly applied. There was bubbles. It was horrible. I've seen higher quality shotguns come out of China than that Remington 870 Express. When we put some rounds of the cheap Winchester steel ammo, or aluminum case ammo, and the Federal ammo, we had nothing but problems about getting seized. When I looked into the chamber, you could see grooves. So the brass rounds were rough extracting, but they were okay. The softer aluminum cases, when the shots fired and the cases expanded, the case is expanded into the grooves and locking the case into the chamber. And that's been an ongoing issue with Remington shotguns for the last 8 or 9 years. I know several people who had to take their 870s to the gunsmith and have their chamber polished just because from the factory, it's crap. As I said, there was a time when Remington 870s ruled the roost. Like 20 years ago, if you're looking for a pump action shotgun, you wanted something a little tactical, and you're looking through the catalogs, you had all types of accessories that were available for the 870, but they weren't available for the Mossberg. There'd be a couple side saddles, a few things for the Mossberg, but all the accessories were only available for the 870. Nowadays, there's an equal amount of accessories for both guns. So if you can get a quality gun cheaper than a Remington, that's what people are doing. They're gravitating towards the Mossberg because the quality control is a lot better. You can get a basic Mossberg 500 Woodstock. It still has a blued receiver. It still has a blued barrel. It'll have a walnut stained hardwood stock, and it still looks like a decent gun. I've got a 500 in 410. I think I bought it 4 or 5 years ago. You know, it's Mossberg utility grade. It's not the high polished bluing that my Browning BL-22 would have, or the high polished bluing that a Remington 870 Wingmaster would have, but it looks like an all-round nice shotgun, and it looks a heck of a lot nicer than any Remington 870 out of the box. So I think Remington's cost-cutting and making, I think they've devalued the product, has really helped people decide or switch to go to the Mossberg, because it's a nicer-looking gun for a little bit less money. The other gun they've had problems with is the 597. It's 50-50 on those. I know some people, Trevor's had no issue with his 597. It's a great little gun. I've had nothing but issues with my 597. Half the people I know with the 597 love it. It's a great gun. And the other half had nothing but issues. I've had to change out the extractor. The plate for adapting the scope rail wasn't drilled and tapped properly. Ended up stripping. It was stripped from the factory. The receiver itself, unlike Ruger 10/22, is one solid piece of aluminum. The 597 is two pieces of aluminum welded together, and it's got this god-awful seam, and it looks cheap. It's got a nice stock, but the gun itself looks cheap. And again, plastic, really thin plastic magazines for issues. They've changed those. They now have a metal magazine. Accuracy-wise, they're a nice gun. When my gun is running, it's very accurate. But I didn't like that I had to go out and buy a new extractor, new springs. I had to put a new hammer in it, new hammer springs. And it just, out of the box, I just wasn't very happy with it. But as I said, some people have had good luck with them. And then, of course, there's the Remington R51 fiasco a couple years ago. That gun should never made it to the retailer shelf. I wonder how much money they spent on Pelican cases and replacing the owner's guns. because I don't think they gave him an R51. They probably gave him the newer model that's out on the market. So Remington's poor reputation for quality control and poor products, it's their own fault. It's got nothing to do with Trump. Well, then look at Marlin. Marlins were fine until Remington took them over. Instead of operating the factory and with the skilled craftsmen and the same machinery that they've had, some of that machinery has been there like 75 years. They decided to pick up everything and move it, I believe it's in New York State. And the Marlin 3030, especially the lever, is a lot of hand-fitted parts. You've had the same guys making those parts for 30, 40 years. And they don't want to pack up and move to another state. And I think most of the employees just said no. They didn't want to do the move. So, you know, bringing all that machinery, setting up again with unskilled laborers that don't know how to set it up, unskilled laborers who do not know how to properly make the part. There was a couple of years where the Marlins were horrible. John from, was it the Union Gun? He bought a 3030. The barrels were from the factory. The barrel had a bow. You could look at it. You can see the bow in the barrel. That's the type of quality control they lacked out of Marlin. Now, from what I understand, they fixed the issues. They've got new machinery running, and the Marlin's actually quite nice. They actually have a Marlin custom shop now. So because that's a separate entity from Remington, hopefully Marlinton, because Remington owns Marlin, or I think the same parent company owns Marlin. So the Marlin quality control has improved, and you can get some really nice stuff up out of the custom shop, especially the 39A. But, you know, blaming the media, blaming the Trump slump, air quotes, for Remington's problems. As far as I'm concerned, it's not true, and it's just a lie, another media hype. Remington is responsible for their own problems. Okay, so my lunch break is, I got 7 minutes left, so let's wind this down. Listener email. This email comes from Listener Thomas. Listener Thomas writes, "Gents, I continue to enjoy your podcast. Please do keep up the good work." Thank you, Thomas. Listening to the recent episode, Thomas mentioned how frog lube gummed up an extractor. Yeah, it gummed up more than that. But apparently it's good on toast. This may be considered flaws in my own firearm cleaning regime. As a podcast topic, I would be interested in learning what each of you do, how frequently and thoroughly you clean your firearms, what product you use and why, how you prepare an item you know will be sitting in the safe for an extended period of time, etc. Thank you for all the time you put into it and keeping up us listeners entertained and informed. Your devoted listener, Thomas. Thank you, Thomas. Actually, that's a great suggestion. Everybody does their routine a little bit different, so we'll put that as an upcoming topic. So please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or our comment section on our website at newshootercanada.ca. Actually, if you message us on the Facebook page, we monitor that all the time. iTunes and Stitchers, I have no idea. Mike looks at those. I have no Wi-Fi, so I don't know the Facebook likes, but last time I looked, it was 1,316, I believe. Shoutouts. Anybody else have any shoutouts? Good. I got a couple. First of all, listener Aaron Strickland. Aaron messaged me a couple weeks ago. He bought a Star B. It's a 1911 lookalike from Wolverine Supplies. And they advertised it as not really being fireable. It was having issues. It was firing intermittently. So Aaron, I sent him some disassembly explosion charts. And he looked at it and realized there was a little nub on the safety that was supposed to be there that wasn't, and it was causing the safety to come out a little bit. So I found out that Marstar, which is not actually my favorite store, but Marstar actually did have that part in stock. So Aaron got the hammer, and I think it was $40 in Marstar. And then I sent him out to Keith Long's gunsmith thing up in Bootley, because Keith's pretty fast. He doesn't like keeping restricted stuff in the stock in the store. So I think he had the gun 2 weeks, and he charged him $40. So I think Aaron paid like $150 for the gun. So with the new hammer and the gunsmithing charges, he's got a half-decent gun for $250. So I'm going to try to hook up with Aaron sometime in the next couple of weeks and go shooting. And then I want to give a special shout-out to John M. and his good buddies Rob and Matt. These three amigos have traveled to and supported not only all the podcasts the last 2 years, they've also attended the last two F Cancer charity shoots. These guys are wonderful gunnies and just great all-around guys to be with. And Matt, I hope you got your 1911 running, by the way, and you guys have a safe and fun time in Florida. And MD, thank you for the favor. I do appreciate. I can't elaborate anymore, but she did me a favor. So thank you, MD. Let's see what else. I've got 4 minutes left in my lunch. CCFR Gunny Girl calendars are still on sale, $15.99. Each calendar comes with a registration number for prize giveaways. I haven't won anything yet. So contact the Coalition for Gun Controls. Oh, God, I'm losing it. It's been a long shift. Contact the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights for your Gunny Girl calendar. And there is also a hunting show at the Renfrew Gun and a Hunting Show Saturday, March 3rd and Sunday, May 4th. It's at 115 Veterans Memorial Boulevard in Renfrew, Ontario. Tickets are available at www.valleysportsmanshow.com. Of course, the 8th Annual Podcaster Charity Shoot is a 3-day event this year, July 5th to the 7th. This year's charity will be the ALS. I think they changed that. I think it's going to be the school lunch program, which is all funded by donations. So it's a local school's lunch program, which is a good charity. There's a 1-day Ferlacci fundamental course. There was 14 spots. I believe that is booked up. The Friday will be the maple seed, and the Saturday will be the charity shoot, which will be a mini steel challenge. If you're planning to attend, there is an invitation letter for your ATT on the Rusty Gooch Guns Gun Club's website. If you've never been to the Rusty Gooch Gun Club, it is an excellent facility. It's one of the nicest ranges I've ever been to. It's geared towards action shooting. It's worth the trip to New Brunswick just to shoot at that range. If you can't make it to the charity shoot in Cobourg, Ontario, there is a Cooey Club Day on Saturday, July 7th as well. They're going to have rare models of Cooey's, memorabilia, never seen photographs from the plant. Actually, people that worked at the factory. Actually, my friend Ed that I used to shoot with, he worked at the factory. There's going to be shooting competitions and merchandise for sale. So that'll be at 3343 Baker Road North, RR4 Cobourg. It's actually right at the bottom of Theater Road. And number 2. So it's dead between Port Hope and Cobourg. So thank you for taking the time and listening to me drone on by myself. As I said, I apologize if we didn't get up a full episode this week, but we really appreciate you listening. Until next week, keep your barrels downrange and smoking. Take kid shooting. And I forget what Mikey Bennett says. Have a good night.
I really like 22 Mag.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.